Okay, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. I've got such an expectation for this evening and for the word I'm going to share with you. It's weird how it sometimes works. I start off with something in my heart that I feel I should minister about, and I think that's probably important. But by Sunday afternoon, I'm persuaded this is critical. This is life-changing. This is, you need to hear this. Okay, so I'm going to preach it. So I'm glad you're here, and it's just amazing when God takes His word and He makes it alive to our hearts. And so this evening I want to speak about the power of the tongue, and we sort of on a series of not loving our lives. 2 weeks ago I shared about not loving our lives unto death, and I really feel that we're in this season of dealing with self. Okay, so we want to deal with self, because each and every one of us, every night you get into bed, you are sleeping with the enemy, yourself. You climb into bed with yourself, and you, yourself, your selfishness, that is your enemy. That is what gets us into trouble so often. And there's a connection between our tongues, what we speak, and self. There's a connection. So often I expose myself when I say something. I'm thinking, now where did that come from? I can't believe I just said that. It sort of, it exposes the wickedness of our hearts sometimes. It's like you just blurt it out and then you realize, oh, I need to go sit at the feet of God. I need to go deal with some things in my heart. And words are powerful. Words are unbelievably powerful. We underestimate the power of the tongue. So this evening, I'm trusting I've got a bit of a hypothesis that I'm going to share with you. That's a theory. And then for the rest of the evening, I'm going to explain to you why I believe this is true. And then you can determine if my hypothesis is correct or not. Okay, is that fine with you? Can we do that? Okay, yay, okay. And it's very good to say amen. Amen. At any time during this sharing of this message, if you would agree at any time, just say it. Amen. Amen. Shock everybody around you and agree with what I'm sharing. Okay, so my hypothesis, my theory, which I am deducing from Scripture, is the following. The words we speak will always be followed by something or someone. That's my hypothesis. The words we speak will always be followed by something or someone. I'm going to try and explain to you what I mean by that. But as I said, words are more powerful than we think. I remember, you know, words have a lasting effect sometimes. I mean, I was in high school, and I had a teacher. I was playing hockey, and this teacher was the hockey coach. And it's weird. When I was in grade 8, he was my favorite teacher. He was such a nice guy. And then he became the head of the hostel. And I think the children just tired him out. But he sort of changed. And so I remember in the middle of matric somewhere, we were somewhere at a school, and then we were like in a group standing around, we're saying, I can't remember what was said, but he spoke to me and he said, you are a peep, 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 peep. Then fill in the blanks. And I just remember, I was sort of, just shocked me. And I will remember it for the rest of my life. Because words have a lasting effect upon us. Words don't fade away. Words actually affect our surroundings. Words affect the people around us. Words affect ourselves. Words has power. Okay. The words we speak will always be followed by something or someone. Let me explain. Okay, first area I want to touch on, words create. If you look on the screen, Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." And there's this interesting bit. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And then it says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." What happened? So you had this void, you had this darkness, you had this confusion on the waters of the deep, but you had the Spirit of God was there. God was there. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters, but nothing. Nothing happened. Nothing was happening until God said, "Let there be light." And the Spirit moved and created and formed. So when God said, "Let it be," the result was there was something that happened. The Spirit of God moved. So the words was followed by someone, the Spirit of God. Look at this. Words don't fade away. Do you realize that words are eternal? You might think you're just saying something. But if you look at the scriptures, the word actually say that it's eternal. In Matthew 12, 36, it says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." Now, I wish that wasn't written in the Bible. But what it's saying is every time you say something, it is recorded. It is followed by something. You say it, an angel in heaven is writing in a book. Each one of us has a book. I have no scriptural reference to back this up. But each of us has a book with your name on. Johan, Buta, married to Yunetsi. That one, East London. And he said, what, let me get it again. Okay. It is written down. Our words do not fade away. Our words don't just disappear. Our words move forth into eternity and it is recorded. And one day we're going to stand before God and God's going to ask us, "Now, why do you say that?" "Lord, I don't know." "And why did you say that? And why did you say that?" I know this is I wish it wasn't written here. But it's a fact. Our words carry weight. Our words, the words we speak, it affects. It can create. It can destroy. Our words carry weight. It's heavy. There's authority when we speak because it carries weight in eternity. There are consequences. Words affect people. Our words are always followed by something like death or life. So something always follows our words. I want to show us a video clip to explain this to you. A short little silly video clip.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey, did you say something to me, dork?
Ah!
Oh. What a stupid haircut!
Ah!
Oh, you gonna cry like a little sissy?
Oh, that's gonna leave a mark.
I've never seen a bigger loser.
Oh, oh.
Hey, cool haircut.
Me?
You need a hand.
Thanks.
Words. They're more powerful than you think. Use them wisely.
You're both a couple of dorks.
Whatever.
A very simple video clip, but I think also very telling. The scripture says, Proverbs 12, 18, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword." So your words can be followed by a sword. Take your sword and stick it into the person next to you. Let's go. Nyep. Nyep. Come on. Poke somebody. Okay, don't poke somebody. But you need to remember it. Our words has power. It affects. It's like throwing something at somebody. It is not just words. It's like taking a rock and throwing the rock at the person. So it says, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Sometimes an Afrikaans say that it's a skerp tong. Somebody with a sharp tongue. Every time some people, when they open their mouth, it's like, hey, you want to be around that person when they speak. It cuts. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. Okay? The tongue of the wise promotes health. So good words, life-giving words, brings life. Okay? So our words are always followed by something. Our words are always followed by something. Okay? So either it can bring death or it can bring life. Another scripture, Proverbs 11, verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Say, destroy his neighbor. With his mouth. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. You see, if we would walk into this world, we'll see it's a war zone. It's a war zone. Some guys are walking around with a punga through the head. Another one, a spear through the heart. They're walking around. Some have their legs cut off. Words that affect our lives. Words that touch us, hurt us, cut us. Sometimes it can only even be the way we speak. Not necessarily the words themselves, but just this look that says, you know, husband, wife, maybe. Just the way the wife maybe speaks to her husband would communicate to him, you nobody. You're never going to get this right. I despise you. That's what a look, every day, same type of thing. The husband just picks up, you despise me. And that cuts. It actually destroys, it breaks down the heart of a person. Cut somebody down to size. So a few areas that words affect us. Words can be spoken over us by other people. You know, sword through the heart. Words we can speak over our surroundings as well. So you can, for instance, move to East London and you say, I hate this place. I hate this place. I just hate this place. Do you know what? You're going to hate this place. Because your words, it's forming, it's molding, it's developing your way of looking at your surroundings because your words affect you. Okay, so the words we speak over our surroundings, it affects. And then the words we speak, now this is one. The words we speak to the man or the woman in the mirror, that person. Sometimes we say words, we speak things like, I despise you. I wish you were more like that. I wish you were more like that. And what actually happens when you speak those words over yourself, you distort. Your words distort the image in the mirror. Your words distort the way you look at yourself. Your words affect the way you look at yourself. And I remember this was definitely me. When I was in high school, my parents divorced, would say when I was grade 6. And I had a bad period of 3, 4, 5 years until about grade 11, things picked up again. But I had a bad stage where I started to speak words over my life, and I could see it was affecting my self-perception. And so many of us do that. I remember when Sonic and I started to date, there were times that I had to teach her to speak to the person in the mirror, to say it. To say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. I don't want to. No, say it. You have to. You have to. No, I don't want to. Say it. Okay. I am beautiful. Now she says it very easily. It took me 10 years. But she is beautiful. But it's weird how we start to look at ourselves, to define ourselves, and then we can't say it. Okay, so all the ladies in the house, you're going to say it. You're going to say, I am beautiful. One, two, three. I'm beautiful. Yes. And all the men say, amen. Okay, guys, now it's your turn. You're going to say, I'm handsome. I'm the man. I'm the man. You can say, I'm the man. Okay, you're going to say it. Okay, one, two, three. Come on, a bit of passion. I'm a pussy. Okay, come on, we're going to do that again. One, two, three. Yes! And all the ladies say, amen. Come on. And this sounds silly, but I tell you, our words have power over our self-perception. And yes, I'll preach about humility next week, okay? But now it's about building yourself up, believing in whom God has made you. It's just declaring the truth. God says you're beautiful. And God says you're my man with the power for the hour, okay, to change the world. God says that. So we need to realize that our words affect us. And some of us need to go evaluate our past, the words we've spoken about over ourselves, the words we've declared over ourselves, our spouses, our friends. Because you see, what happens is, if you believe a lie and you start speaking the lie, you build a prison. You build a prison around your life. I'm always shocked when I speak to somebody who has bought the lie and who has climbed into their prison. And I'm sitting outside the prison, I'm thinking, you're wonderful. But they're sitting inside and say, I'm horrible. It's a lie, and you need to expose it. And you expose it by the truth, and then you climb out of the prison. Many of us, look at ourselves, we despise ourselves. The way we look or aspects of our bodies, God loves you the way you are. You must just see why. You know, there was a time that I was wondering, you know, about myself. You know, I was comparing myself with other guys with big calves, okay? And I only have halves, okay? And it's amazing how you're short. You want to be, like, tall like the other guys. But it's amazing, whatever you are, you want the other thing. You know, and the tall guys say, I wish I was shorter. You know, I don't want to stand out the whole time or whatever. And it's liberating to come to a place where you say, but I like myself. I am perfect for what God has called me to do and to be. But you need to come to that place where you just say, I like me. I like me. Me is good. Me is 100% for what God is wanting to do. It's liberating. Okay. So as I said, there's a war zone, many wounded, stuff through people's heads and hearts, prison, and we need to break out. So words affect people. And as I said earlier, our words are always followed by something or someone. Let me say that again. Our words are always followed by something or someone. And I'm going to explain that as we continue. But our words affect our surroundings, as I said. Look at this. Proverbs 11, verse 11. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Say overthrown. Now, what does that mean? That is like an enemy army storming the city and conquering it, demolishing it. It is overthrown. That would be overthrown. So what happens when we start speaking negatively, badly, or cursing our surroundings and our city? What is the result? According to that scripture, it is overthrown. It is overthrown. As I shared last week, the one missionary that was preaching here, he said, a foreign missionary, he was saying when he and his friends speak about South Africa, they're shocked that how negative South Africans are about their country. And if they asked the guy, for instance, how did you experience South Africa? And he said, wonderful. They're like sad, like, oh, can't be, man. This is a horrible place. We're cursing our nation. And we're cursing our country. We're cursing our towns. We're cursing our educational system. We're cursing our government. Yes, there are issues. But let me ask you this. Can God turn it around? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, by faith, we can speak differently. Faith is not by sight. Faith is according to the word of God. Faith is according to the greatness of God. And I am so excited. I believe we're going to change this nation. I really believe it. I really believe it. I'm just looking at what the church is doing in this country. I'm looking at, say, at our church in Stellenbosch. They say 1,000, 1,500 students. That is more than 10% of the students on campus are in the church, and they're being trained up. They're being equipped to be world changers in the future. And it's growing. So what about 10% of every university, every school of this nation becoming born again, full on Christians? 10%, you can change this nation. I guarantee you, a vocal, focused, humble, faithful people can change this nation, 10%. But we're not there yet, but we're going there. God can do it. Huh? Amen? Amen. Amen. So words affect our surroundings. Words open doors, or it can close them. Words can open doors, but it can also close doors. There's a scripture, it's not on the screen, in John 7:37, where Jesus speaks and he says, "He who believes in me, rivers of living waters will flow forth from his heart." From his heart. Okay, rivers of living waters. He who believes in me, rivers of living waters will flow forth. And a few weeks ago, I shared this, and I told you, you are a hose pipe. And you were very excited about that. That was like really cool. So you can say that again. I'm a hose pipe. Okay, you're a hose pipe. And the point of the story is a hose pipe is just connected to the source, and then the life-giving waters flow through it. You don't have it of your own ability, but you are a channel through which life flows forth. But I believe it's not just a little itsy-bitsy hose-pipey thingy. Do a little itsy-bitsy tap. Behind you and me stands an unbelievable power. The King of the universe. He's standing right behind you right now. And he's saying, "I'm running into this world. You are my gate. You are the way, the path through which I will enter this world. It won't just be a trickle. It will be a flood. It will be a flood. He who believes in me. He who believes in me." A flood of living waters can flow through our lives to change our surroundings. Amen. You got to believe it. If you believe it, it shall develop. It shall become. It shall be. If you believe it. Now look at this. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Speaks about the gates. It speaks about the King. It speaks about this glorious one. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Let's read this together. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Let's say it. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory. He's saying there's a proclamation. These are words being spoken. These are praises of a song being declared. Lift up, you gates. Lift up, you doors. Lift up. And there's a place where you and I, when we come to church, when we praise God, when we worship, we say, "God, you reign." Our words open doors. Our words prepare the way for God to come and reign. There's so many scriptures where David speaks to himself, where he speaks to his soul and says, "My soul, do not be downcast within me. Praise God. Praise God." He speaks to himself. And I believe that is, in a sense, speaking to ourselves. Gates, Point to yourself. Gates, me, open up. Let this river of life flow forth through me. God only works through people. Go read the scriptures. God doesn't fall out of the sky. He appears to a person. He speaks to the person. The person obeys him or prays or does something. And then God moves. What if each and every one of us would become gates and living waters would flood forth through our lives? What if we would start believing, I'm good enough because of the blood of Jesus? God qualifies me. He has enabled me. I am a gate, and he's standing right behind me saying, I want in. Just believe. Just declare the truth. But so many of us, we're listening to the accusations of the enemy. He's speaking in our ears, saying, you're not good enough. You can't do this. You're too young. You're too old. You've messed up too badly. The blood of Jesus cancels all of that. There's a voice, as I shared a month ago or so, the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking to each and every one of us right now. It's saying, you're blessed. It's saying, you're holy. It's saying, you're qualified. It's saying, you can do this. But all you need to do is to agree with that word and start speaking and speak to the gates. Speak to yourself. Go stand in the mirror and speak to the man. Or to the woman. You're the man. Okay. Hello. You're the man. And then you start speaking. You start speaking the truth. You start saying, you are a gate. Through you, this school can change. Through you, my surroundings can change. Through you, things can change. Things can change. Can you say that? Things can change. You must just believe it. You must just believe it. Look at this. The power of words to open or close doors. Joshua. In the book of Joshua, they wanted to take Jericho. Fascinating story about the power of the spoken word. Now Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. Nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. That's interesting. So for 6 days they walked, 7 days they walked around, marched around Jericho. And then the trumpets or the shofars were blowing. That's what shofar means, trumpet, ram's horn. And so the shofars were blowing and Joshua said to them, be quiet, don't say a word. Now, why do you think did Joshua say that? Guys, be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. Why? Because if they were complaining and speaking negatively, they would have canceled the power of God to take Jericho. I think we can learn a lot from that. What happens when you and I go through a crisis? Freaked out. Sorry, my son. But we like freak out and we start complaining and we get negative. You need God. I mean, you need God to come into the situation. You're desperate for God. But what do? You start complaining. You start speaking negatively. And what do? We actually close the door in God's face. So he cannot act. He cannot move because our words have closed the door. So what should you do in a crisis situation? Be quiet. If you don't have faith. If you're doubting and you're fearful, be quiet. But if you have faith, speak. If you have faith, speak. Now look at this. Verse 16. And the seventh time they've went around Jericho, it happened when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And then look at what happens. Verse 20. And so it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, a unified shout, that the wall fell down flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now think about this. This is a literal physical wall. I've read archaeology. I read a book about archaeology, and they did some studies in the area of Jericho. They found, when they were going deeper down, they found a wall that did something that they don't think should be done. But they basically found that this happened. The wall fell down flat when they dug down. They actually found evidence for this fact a few thousand years ago. Anyway, so a literal wall fell down. Now, I believe that's a sign for us. That's telling us, that's telling me and you, if you speak life, if you speak life, what about if a whole congregation of us here in unison, when the Spirit of God would lead us to shout? Couldn't that open the doors for Jesus to walk into this town? If a literal walls of a city fell down? I believe so, yes. But there's power in a shout like that. There's power in our words. And so they took the city. So what am I trying to say? The words we speak will always be followed by something or someone. The words we speak will always be followed by something or someone. There are consequences. Either life or death, or the spirit of heaven, or the demons of hell will follow. I'm going to give you a scripture to prove what I've just said. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, in your mouth. James 3, verse 2. It says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. Say perfect. And could also control ourselves in every other way. This is amazing scripture. It says, if you control your mouth, then you will be perfect. Then you'll be a mature Christian. If you control your mouth, it's sort of a litmus test. It's the test to determine if you are a mature believer or not. What is moving forth from your mouth? It is determining where you are at. And it says, if you can control your tongue, you can control every facet of your life. Every facet of your life. That's what the scriptures say. So think about this. Maybe you're struggling in an area of your life. You don't have control or whatever. But you want control. You want breakthrough in that area. According to the scriptures, if you align your mouth with truth, it will affect your whole being. It will give you the grace, the power to start living differently. How about that? Is that exciting? I think that is exciting. Self, but you see, this one little problem. The enemy with whom you are sleeping every night. Self. If self reigns, your mouth will be out of control. If self is laid down, your mouth will come into line with the word of God. Look at this. James 3, verse 4 to 8. You must go read this whole chapter at home. This is amazing. It says in verse 4, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Your mouth is like a flame. Your mouth is like, it can give a spark. It can start a fire. Have you ever been there? You're thinking, oops, I wish I didn't say that. And if the conditions are just dry enough, and the winds are just blowing in the right or wrong direction, you got a forest fire going here. That which you have said will spread like wildfire through wherever, and effect. It will be like a forest fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. Look at this. corrupting your entire body. The words you speak will corrupt your whole being. It can set your whole life on fire. Say whole life. Whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. It's a snake. Our mouths is like a snake. It's deadly poison. And you just... Our mouths, it's like a snake with poison, and we can spew it forth. We can bring sickness and death to those around us. Our words are always followed by something or someone. Our words are always followed by something or someone. And then it says there in that scripture as well, but no one can tame the tongue. You cannot do this in your own strength. You cannot do this by your own ability. You need God to help you to bring your tongue to a place of life. You see, the order is as follows. First, the word, and then either the fire of hell or the fire of heaven will follow. So it's more than just not speaking negatively. I mean, if our tongues can do such damage, imagine what our tongues could do if it's plugged into the Spirit of God and it's speaking forth life. It will release life. It will bring blessing. Do you know what the Satanists sometimes do? They record curses on audio tape. And then they go and pull out these audio tapes next to the roads. I've seen many of them. I've picked up many of them. And they put it in an area with a dangerous bend or a this or a that. And then you'll find within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, major car crash, major car accident. Because they know the power of our words. But do we Christians realize the power of our words? Well, often no. So if the curse is so powerful, how much more the blessing that is spoken by the word of God? 1,000 times more. 100 million times more powerful. But words are followed either by death or by life. I want to end off with this. Words are followed by life. One of the values in our church is the power of belief. One of the four core values, the power of belief. And I wrote this little passage sort of as a guideline for us as a church. It's something the Spirit, I believe, laid on my heart for us to implement. So I want to encourage us to do this. I just want to read it for you. It says, as a church, because we believe in the power of our words and in the power of faith, we focus our thoughts and words on that which is praiseworthy. In other words, we don't complain. At every meeting, small group, and service, we make an effort. We go out of our way to declare that which is praiseworthy. Our aim is to create an environment of praise, of hope, and belief that says our God can do anything, even in the greatest of challenges. Our God can do anything. We go out of our way, not just not to speak negatively, but to speak life. To speak hope, to share with somebody, God did this in my life, praise God. Or this happened, wonderful. Or, I believe in you. Man, you are a really handsome guy. How about a date? No, don't do that. But you just say, just encouraging one another, just speaking life, just saying thank you for what you have done, for just celebrating one another. To celebrate what God is doing in this church. I believe God is doing awesome miracles in our midst. I believe that. I believe this church is miraculous. Each and every one of you that's here tonight, it's a miracle. It is by God's grace that He's brought you here. It's only the beginning I really believe this is only the beginning of what God is going to do in this town and in the Eastern Cape. I believe that. One soul at a time. Maybe two at a time. But one by one, God is going to change lives. How? Through me? Through us. Through us. You and me. Rivers of living waters flowing forth from our hearts, transforming lives. I'm excited. But we need to, in unison, as one, to say, God, we believe. We believe. And I'm going to share it. Anybody can complain. It is not hard. That's not an achievement to complain. Anybody can do that. But for somebody to say, I have faith, I have hope for change in my future. Now we're talking faith. Now we're talking the Spirit of God. Now we're talking of people who are going to change the world. Just in our mouths. Just in our mouths. Speak and it will be followed. Our words will always be followed by something or someone. Our words will be followed. Okay, I want to end off with a scripture. Acts 3. I'm going to skip one there. Acts 3. This is amazing. This is just after the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts. And so Peter and John, they go into the temple. But they're not just going to the temple. They have faith. They know that there's an awesome power walking right behind them. And they knew that they are the gates. And then they find a lame man, somebody just sitting there asking for money. In Acts 3 verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. This is what Peter is saying. Silver and gold. Sorry, man. Money, don't have. But what I do have, I give you. I think this is beautiful. A lame man sitting on the street and he says, sorry, I don't have any money for you, but what I do have, I give you. How did he give it to him? Backhand, he gave it to him. No, he just spoke the following words. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's beautiful. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. I think that's beautiful. Sorry, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I want to give you. Can you say that? What I do have, I want to give you. What Peter gave him, can you and I also do that? Do we have that, what Peter has had? Yes, we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We have relationship with Jesus Christ. So when we speak in the name of Jesus, with a little bit of faith, our words will start impacting and lives will be transformed. Peter didn't ask. He didn't say, God, I beg you, please heal this man. He didn't. He spoke. He spoke not in his own name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus is standing right behind me. And if I just speak it, somebody is going to follow my words. Somebody is going to step out of eternity into this life, into this world. And this person that follows my words, it's going to take him by the hand and heal him. His name is Jesus. Our words will always be followed by something or someone. Our words will always be followed by something or someone. I believe Peter had a God ambition, not a selfish ambition. His hose pipe wasn't plugged with lots of selfish ambition. He just had one ambition. I want Jesus Christ to be magnified. I want Jesus to be exalted. I want his kingdom to come. Go read the rest of that chapter. They say that. Don't look at us as if we did this. Jesus did this. There is unbelievable power in your mouth to bring life. Life. And I want you to get it. I want you to click it. I believe God is wanting us to drive through this town instead of looking at the horrible newspaper headlines, to ignore that and to say, I rewrite that headline in the name of Jesus. And I start speaking life over this town. I love this municipality. They're doing excellent work in Jesus' name. There will no longer be rubbish in the streets. Jacob Zuma, he's going to sort out his issues because God is going to meet with him. It's happened in the past. Why can't it happen again? Let's start speaking life. Give God something to work with. Start speaking over your own life, your own work, your own neighborhood. Start speaking life. I bless this neighborhood. I bless this neighborhood. That neighbor that's irritating me, I bless you in Jesus' name. Speak life. Speak life. You see, there's a defining thing that will influence the power of our words. It's called faith. The more faith, the more power. The more trust in God, the more power. So start speaking it. Do not negate the will and the power of God through your negative speaking. Don't do that. Let's start believing. I believe this is so important. You and I need to take the words of God and put it in our mouths. If you're a teacher at school, stand in your class and speak Scripture over that class. Maybe you're a doctor at the hospital and there are lots of challenges there. Well, walk through the hospital and say, God, I commit this place into your hands and I speak life. Or maybe just for us as a church, just start saying it. Just say it. Just shock the devil and say, I believe. I believe in Shofar East London. I believe this is a God thing. I believe that lives are going to be changed. I believe we're going to see a harvest of souls. I believe we're going to see lives change. I believe we're going to see the sick healed. Not because we want glory, just because the Scripture says it. Why not shock your spouse and say, ladies, hussy, I think you're the man. Huh? You're the man. My wife has been saying that for years. I'm only starting to believe it now. Just astound the devil and speak life. Speak life. And so there's one scripture, Psalm 141. Don't know if we can put that up there. This is homework. Can we put on 141, Psalm 141? Yeah. This is homework. Every morning when you get up, pray this. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, set a guard before my mouth. Lord, help me to not speak those things that I should not be speaking. Lord, help me. But Lord, watch over my mouth that when I speak life, perform it. Do it. God, Jesus, act. Move. Move. Our words will always be followed by something or someone. Either demons from hell or the Spirit from heaven. And I feel in my heart, some of us will have to apologize to a person or persons for the words we've spoken. Or maybe for the words we've not spoken. Honey, forgive me for not believing in you. For not speaking it. For instance. And then, as I said, our words will always be followed by someone. Now, this is beautiful. Let me just pray for us and I'll end off with that. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for the power that is in our mouths, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the plan you have for our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that we are gates through which life can flow forth. If we would just lay down self and place a God before our mouths and then let the Spirit speak. And so, Lord, we pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that the Spirit would speak through us, Lord God, that our mouths would be cleansed, would be restored, the negativity removed, the complaining vanish. And Lord God, in its place, the words of life. The words of life. The words of life. God, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just want to share something that might be relevant for some of us here. But I clicked something. There's a scripture that says, if you believe in your heart and you proclaim with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will be saved. I think, wow. Do you know what happens? Maybe this evening you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you feel far from God and you're not connecting to Him in some way or another. This is this beautiful truth. If you believe in your heart and you speak the words audibly with your mouth, Jesus will step into your life, because somebody always follows our words. So if you say, Lord Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I confess, I declare it, that I am lost. I do not have relationship with you. I do not know you as a living God, as a personal Savior. But Lord, this day I believe, like a child, I just believe and I just say, Jesus, I confess, I ask, I say, save me. Save me. God is looking over the words of your mouth, and when you speak it, with a little bit of faith, Jesus will step into your life. Hallelujah. I think this is awesome. This is exciting. If you believe it. If somebody would just say, Jesus, please save me. With a little bit of faith, Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, will flood into this world. And He'll put His arm around that person or persons and save them. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Would you please stand with me? Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just focus on the Lord. Let's just meditate on this truth. That our words will always be followed by something or someone. And you can open the door for Jesus Christ into your life, into your school, into your workplace, into your family, into your marriage. You can speak it. You can believe it. And it shall be in Jesus' name. So I want to ask, if you are here this evening, and you realize, God, I want life in my mouth. I want the Spirit of God to release words from my mouth and from my heart. I'm available, God, to be a life speaker. Then please raise your hands to the Lord and saying, God, this evening, I am available. I am available. I am available. I am available. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The words, life or death is in the power of the tongue. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. thank you, Lord. Just speak to the Lord. Just speak to him. Say, Lord, I give you my mouth. I give you my mouth. I give you my mouth. I feel there's such an anointing here. Just open your heart. Just let this truth settle. Just let this truth settle in your heart, in your life. Holy God. Someone will follow your words. Someone will step into this world. Someone. His name is Jesus. This world needs Jesus. They are desperate for a Savior. Someone. Hallelujah. Just want us to sing this song as a proclamation that Jesus reigns over all the earth. This is the second last song we did. And then we're just going to pray and trust that God will bring a shift in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Just repeat after me and say, my circumstances can change. This town can change. This nation can change. If Jesus steps onto the scene. Hallelujah. Just declare it. I believe. Say it again. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord, come. Our words will be followed. Let's sing this. Just for a moment. We're praying softly, praying under our breath. I just want to ask, maybe this evening here you do not have an intimate relationship with Jesus. You have not committed, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And as I've shared, if you would just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior, is Lord, He will come in and save you. So I want to ask, as every eye is closed, I want to ask, if you realize this evening that you do not have relationship with Jesus Christ, and you need to, Would you be so bold to raise your hand as a sign to God, saying, Lord, I realize I need to be saved. I need Jesus in my life. You see, each and every one of us needs to come to a point, a defining moment in our lives where we say it, where we take that step and we say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I am lost without you. Please save me. And as you speak, he will come in. If you believe it and you speak it, he will come in. Is there anybody here tonight? You realize you need to commit your life to Jesus. Just raise your hand as a sign to God, saying, Jesus, I want you to save me. Hallelujah. God, we worship you in this place. And we declare, Lord, may every person in this town, every person in this region, may they believe in their hearts. May they cry out to you and be saved. As your word says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray, God, that you'll give each and every one of us as a church, give us the faith to believe that and to say it shall be in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. Would you be, all of us, so bold just to raise your hands if you feel comfortable to do that? I just want us to pray a corporate prayer of consecration to God and to ask God to give us faith. Father God, just repeat after me. Just say, Father God, Lord, I ask this day, as the disciples asked, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, fill my heart with faith for a harvest, for East London, for the Eastern Cape to be transformed because of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to take just a minute or two, if you feel comfortable, to turn to the person next to you. If you feel comfortable to pray with the person next to you. I want us for 2 minutes to speak life over this church, over East London, and over Eastern Cape, and over this nation. Can we do that? So let's turn to, if you feel comfortable to do that, just turn two by two or so. And just for a few minutes, just speak, no asking, just saying, Lord, I speak life to East London. Lord, I speak life to the Eastern Cape. Lord, I speak blessing. Let's just do that for a few minutes, and then we're finished. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's start finishing. If you're finished, just stand, please. I'm going to end off with us with prayer.
Good evening, church. I'm Nicolette. I just want to testify of God's greatness and God's healing. Last Tuesday, my dad was, the doctors called him in, and they found his liver was full of growth. So they called him in and they said it's 99%. It's cancer and it's spread already. And they found as well in his rectum. And they basically told him there's nothing they can do. They're going to do the tests, but it's already quite extensive spread in his liver. So they can do chemo and hope for the best. And we prayed and we asked everybody, everywhere we know, we asked, please pray. God said in his word, if you need someone, you ask for it. And we asked for healing and we asked for it. And Monday when the biopsy came back for the liver, the doctors was astounded, but it wasn't the bad cancer. It wasn't spread everywhere. And the doctors still astounded. And they did more tests and they said it might be cancerous, but it's rare, but it's the one that doesn't spread easily and it takes a long time. So he's going to a liver specialist, but the death sentence that was put over him a week and a half ago has been lifted. And we speak life into him, and we know, I speak now, that there's going to be total healing in the name of Jesus. And I just want to testify that to everybody who's praying. Prayer works. It says in the Bible, the fervent prayer of a believer abates nothing. It can do anything, because God can do anything. It can change any medical result. And I just want to testify and thank God for that in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Now, it's amazing because her dad was here last Sunday evening and he came to me afterwards to pray with him. And I didn't want to give him hope, you know, so I just wanted to say, you know, God is faithful. But it was amazing when I prayed for him, I felt God telling me, trust me like a child for your healing. Trust me like a child for your healing. And while we were praying, he said he felt something coursing through his body. And he said he feels he's healed. And the next morning they found no cancer in his liver. So praise God. God is amazing. But I want to encourage us, there's life in our mouths. So let's start speaking it and leave the results up to God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this week. And God, we thank you for a change in our mouths and in our hearts. And we thank you for rivers of life to flow forth. Wherever we are and wherever we go, life. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, Amen.